In most years, August 22nd is the feast of the Queenship of Mary. We don't celebrate it when August 22nd falls on a Sunday, and that's what happens this year. So if I were speaking in the parish, I probably wouldn't even mention this, but we're here in the Anuim Shrine, the shrine dedicated to Our Lady of the Liturgical Life. There's no liturgical feast for Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, but the other title that Father Francis gave to the icon is Queen Mother Mary. So today, August 22nd, is the patronal feast day of the icon and the patronal feast day of this shrine. So I think it's significant enough that I can mention it. Mary, our Queen Mother. Before every Mass, we turn to her and we say, Queen Mother Mary, we come before you. So that's where we are. Of course, we do that before the Mass because when we come before Mary, she prepares us to come to the Lord. And that's where we are now, in the middle of the Mass. August 22nd is also significant for Sister Barbara. She's still waiting around here to be buried, you know, because we're in a lockdown. She's still waiting. But August 22nd is the date of her vows as a religious. She made her first vows on August 22nd, 1963. So today is the 58th anniversary of her consecration. 3 years later, she made her final vows, August 22nd, 1966, 55 years ago. So since we're still in the process of honoring Sister Barbara, I think it's significant to mention her date of her consecration. Today, in fact, if we were to start counting from the day of her death, today would be, or is, the 40th day. So since we're using the other counting system, we're counting starting with the day after her death, tomorrow is her 40th day, and that's what we're going to be celebrating or observing tomorrow, the 40th day. Okay, so together with our Queen Mother and together with our spiritual mother, Sister Barbara, let's take a look at today's readings. Today's Gospel has a number of surprising things in it, and part of the surprise is because we're taking it out of context. One surprising thing is that Jesus asks his 12 apostles, do you also want to leave? Where did that come from? Here, Jesus, who usually says, come follow me, here he says, do you want to leave me? Well, he says that because many of the disciples, many of the followers of Jesus have decided to leave. Well, that makes us ask, well, why did they leave? Then we get back to the very first line of today's gospel. The disciples were listening and saying, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? What saying? What saying? Well, we have to go back earlier in John chapter 6. So that's why I say this gospel is taken out of context, or if we understand the flow of the liturgy, this gospel comes as the conclusion of a five-week series of Sundays. So if we don't know what happened for the past 4 weeks, we won't know why the disciples are reacting the way they are. Well, we do know, because this is the Bread of Life discourse. So they're reacting to what Jesus has revealed in that whole discourse. Let me make a little review of this for you. And this is also a review of the liturgy. Since it's a five-week cycle in the middle of year B where we are, we go back to the 17th Sunday. And on the 17th Sunday, the gospel, starting beginning of chapter 6 of John, is the multiplication of the loaves, five loaves to feed 5,000 people. So it's all about feeding, about hunger, about God providing. If you want to get a clue into what the focus is, you can always go to the first reading. On Sundays, the first reading is a very good indicator of where the church wants us to focus. And the first reading on the 17th Sunday was the story of Elijah and the 20 barley loaves. He fed 100 men with 20 barley loaves, a multiplication. So clearly, that first Sunday of this five-week cycle was about loaves and about eating and about God satisfying our hunger. Well, the next Sunday, 18th Sunday, Jesus goes on to tell the people who had been fed with the loaves not to be seeking earthly food, but to seek heavenly food. And they say, well, what are you talking about? And he says, I am the bread of life. That's why we call this the bread of life discourse. Jesus identifies himself as bread. The first reading of that Sunday was the story of the manna in the desert. So bread from heaven through the work of Moses, bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. That was the theme. The following Sunday, 19th Sunday, Jesus goes on to talk about himself as the bread of life, the bread that has come down from heaven. And at the end of that gospel, he reveals that the bread he will give is his flesh. Well, the first reading that Sunday was the story of Elijah. Remember, Elijah was all depressed about everything going wrong in his life, and he wanted to die. And the angel said, well, get up and eat. Otherwise, you won't have enough strength to make the journey. And he had this hearth cake and jug of water, and he had to get up and eat. And with that food, he was able to journey for 40 days and 40 nights. So this 19th Sunday was all about the food that we need for the journey of life. The food that we need for the journey of life is the flesh of Christ. Well, the following Sunday, last Sunday, we would have reflected on the bread of life, but it was the solemnity of the Assumption. So instead of focusing on the bread of life, we focused on Mary in glory. But if we hadn't been celebrating the Assumption, we would have read the passage in John chapter 6 where the disciples start objecting. How can you say come down from heaven? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus insists, no, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have life. And the first reading in that 20th Sunday is the passage from Wisdom. Wisdom providing food and wine. I've mixed my wine. I've prepared my table. Come, forsake foolishness and eat. So don't be foolish and resist the bread of life. Don't resist the gift of the body and blood of Christ. Be wise. So all that happens before today's gospel. Now that's all background. So today's gospel starts out, the disciples say, this saying is hard, who can accept it? Well, what's so hard? It's hard to identify Jesus as bread. It's hard to identify Jesus as coming from heaven because they say, we know he came from the carpenter. He's the son of a carpenter. We know his mother, Mary. We know his brothers and sisters. It's hard to identify or understand how we can eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's the hardest part. In fact, that's the clincher. So they can say, okay, you call yourself bread if you want to. Okay, I don't know what you're talking about coming down from heaven, but we're not going to eat your flesh. That's where they drew the line. How can you, this saying is hard. Well, this is the point. This is the crucial point. And if you notice, the first reading is not about bread this time. Remember, Elijah or Elisha, 20 loaves, Moses, manna in the desert, Elijah eating for the journey of life, Wisdom mixing her wine and providing a banquet, all about eating. For 4 weeks, we heard about eating in the first reading. The first reading today is about making a decision. Decide today whom you will serve. Joshua chapter 24. Decide today whom you're going to serve. So he's not saying eat so that you can make the journey. He's saying decide whom you're going to serve. And he gives them the options. You can serve the Lord. You can serve the gods your father served beyond the river. You can serve the gods of the Amorites. Great choice. Great choice. You're going to serve a bunch of idols that have never done anything for you? Or are you going to serve the Lord who has saved you from slavery and provided for you for 40 years? Which one are you going to serve? He says, well, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. He's basically saying, you don't really have much of a choice. You're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to be subject to the whims of these idols who are not really taking care of you. And the people say, well, we're going to serve the Lord too. He's the one who provided for us for our whole journey. Remember, during the journey, that's exactly what they were complaining about. Where is the Lord? Why isn't he providing for us? All we have is this wretched manna. But here, when they're put to the test, or when they're put on the spot to make a decision, they say, oh, no, we'll serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. So the reason why I'm stressing this is because when we get to this point at the end of the Bread of Life discourse, it's no longer Jesus saying who he is and what he's offering. Now the question is whether we will decide to accept it or not. Will we accept the gift of his flesh or not? Now, if you were a Protestant, let me say this. One of the ways in which this reading is interpreted among non-Catholics, I think there's more than one interpretation among the Protestants, but they would typically say this passage is about faith. Because Jesus says, it is the spirit that gives life while the flesh is of no avail. And then the next verse, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. So they say, look, he's not talking about eating flesh. He's talking about faith. Because he says, the spirit, talk about the spiritual life. He's giving a spiritual interpretation. The flesh is of no avail. But that's how they get around the challenge of eating flesh. Now, if you look at this passage that we have today, you would say, well, that sounds like a pretty good interpretation. Jesus says, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. So what are you doing focusing on the flesh? The only problem is, if that verse allows us to spiritualize or reject the fleshy connotation of what Jesus said before, well, then why did the disciples leave? What's so hard about symbols? What's so hard about spiritual meaning? That's not that hard to accept. What's hard to accept is eating flesh. And that's why they leave. They don't take Jesus' words here as an out, as a way to escape the challenge. They leave. And this is where Jesus says to the 12, do you also want to leave? In other words, there's a line in the sand here. Either you're with me or you're against me. Either you accept what I am saying or you leave. I'm not going to change my teaching to make it easier. I'm not going to reduce the scandal of eating flesh. This is how I'm giving you my life. Do you want to leave? Now notice the different interpretations of flesh here. This is the key word in this whole passage. It's even one of the key words in the second reading. I won't go into that, but the two become one flesh. I mean, talking about union in the second reading. But anyway, flesh. This is why Tertullian, you know, that famous theologian back in, 4th century? The flesh is the hinge of salvation. The flesh is the hinge of salvation. Flesh is the key to understanding everything. Who we are, who Jesus Christ is, when we say the Word became flesh, and how he saved us by his offering his flesh, and how he still saves us by offering us the Eucharist. The flesh is the key. So when Jesus says it is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh is of no avail, he's not discounting the flesh. What he's saying is, don't interpret the flesh, the Word made flesh, in an earthly way. Remember, just a few verses earlier, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. So you can't say flesh is of no avail. He's saying flesh is the way to life. But that's the Word made flesh. That's the flesh of God. He says, then when he says the flesh is of no avail, he's talking about our flesh, our fallen nature, our limited earthly interpretation of things. You could say our insistence that we have understanding and control and vision. He's saying, don't limit what I'm giving you to your fleshy interpretation. That's why it's about faith. So the Protestants are right in that sense. It's about faith. But it's about faith in the flesh of Christ. Do you also want to leave? Peter gives the great answer. And he doesn't say, we understand what you're talking about, and so we understand, and so we accept it. He says, Master, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the one who reveals God to us. You are the one sent by God. Your words give us life, even when we don't understand them. So what option do we have? It's sort of like what Joshua says. Who do you want to serve? The one who gives you life, or the ones who have never given you any life? There's only one path to life. And this is what Peter says, to whom shall we go? There isn't anybody else. Yeah, this is hard. Yes, we don't understand it. Yes, it's a challenge. It's a hard saying. But we don't have any real option if we want life. You have the words of eternal life. So then he says, we have come to believe. Faith. See, faith. Not that we have come to figure this out. We have come to believe, and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Peter, who, when he identified Jesus' identity in Caesarea Philippi, remember, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus says, it was my Father that revealed that to you. Here, Peter making a similar testimony or declaration of Jesus' identity, you are the Holy One of God. It seems that in this case, he's saying it not because the Father revealed it to him, but because Jesus himself revealed it. Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. Anyway, Peter's right. Peter's right. And he tells us the answer that we are to give when the question comes, are you going to leave? The right answer is no, because there's no one else who gives us life. You have the words of eternal life. We believe in you. This is our response to the gift of the Eucharist. You know, many people, most people, even most Catholics, do not believe in the Eucharist. This is the tragedy of the church nowadays. There was that study in the States, was it last year or 2 years ago? 70% of Catholics do not believe in Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. 70% of Catholics. It's a scandal that our own members don't believe. They're among those who walk away or who interpret this as a symbolic presence or a spiritual meaning. The church from the day that Jesus taught this, proclaims the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, the flesh and blood of Christ. The Word made flesh, made available to us so that we may have eternal life. And that's what we believe. That's what we proclaim. It doesn't mean that we understand it. Who can understand how Jesus could be Word made flesh? Who can understand the Incarnation? Who can understand the Trinity? Who can understand the Eucharist? Well, we don't understand it by reason. We understand it by faith. We have come to believe and we are convinced Jesus is the Holy One of God. And thanks be to God, he has come to us in the flesh to save our flesh, take us to eternal life.